The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. You are here with We the People, and it really is We the People this morning. Elizabeth is on vacation this morning, but we have four other people taking her place and somebody on the phone already. So We the People is covering today in-home care services from a lot of different angles. We have, let's see, let me read off their cards. We have Rhonda Robertson from Interim Homestyle. We're going to have them give you a little information on their businesses in a little bit. We have Nathan Vail from Home Instead Senior Care. We've got Jim Robinson from Senior Helpers. We have Robert Von Hoff from Visiting Angels. And did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
All righty. And we're all sharing microphones here, so, you know, we're going to have to work on that one. We had enough chairs, but not enough microphones. So if you hear us moving around in here, that's what we're doing. In Arcadia, home care and staffing, we got Tim. Oh, yeah, that's right. We had a fan going in the background, too. That's just what we all need. Tim's going to be calling in later and talking to us about Arcadia home care staffing as well. This whole thing is predicated on two pending pieces of legislation. Both have passed their respective houses and are coming right for seniors and the people that care for them outside of state-sponsored things. So let's see. If you are following us on the radio, you might want to head to your computer if you have one and go to ReadingTeaParty.com, click on Radio Show, and on that page you'll see everything about the people that are on here. You'll see both bills and the links to those, which is useful. If you'd like to call us at some point during the program, it's 530-605-4567. And I think that's everything. So let's see. We've got a little bit of time here. We didn't script this, of course, because scripting is boring and silly. So everybody's just looking at me. Okay, who's going to go first? Somebody say hi. Tell us what you do.
This is Jim Robinson, a senior helpers. We do in-home non-medical care. All of us in the room do, primarily for the senior community, but it's for anybody that needs assistance with activities of daily living. So we might help with bathing, dressing, incontinent care, toileting assistance, transfers and ambulation, as well as light housekeeping, meal preparation, medicine reminders, transportation assistance, laundry, linen, basic things around the house.
Tons of stuff. Takes a lot of time, and if you or someone in your family requires those services, it's not something that can just be filled in every now and then by somebody else. Has to be something done regularly, all the time. Someone really has to pay attention.
Yeah, in some cases, we take care of people while their loved ones go to work. So we have to be there or they can't make it. And so in order to go to work, we might have to be in the house 8 or 10 hours a day, sometimes even longer. And if we don't go, they can't make it to work.
Yeah, and that doesn't work.
Nope.
We've all done that before.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, somebody is sick, or you know, sick kids, or things like that. But boy, when when parents and other relatives need our help, and you're not in a position to quit your job, or you live far away. I know who was telling me that you had somebody who lives in Texas.
I do. We've got a client here in Reading that we take care of. He's an elderly gentleman with some dementia, and the daughter lives in Texas, and so we're the lifeline.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be a lousy commute.
It would be.
And on a daily basis.
And we're the ones that look out for the senior. I mean, a couple of years ago when we had the fire up in Paradise when they evacuated the town, we took care of a couple there that were both had dementia, and the nearest living relative was in Riverside. So we had to get our caregiver, get them in a car, get them out of Paradise, put them in a hotel room for a couple of days, and then bring them back up when the roads cleared.
Wow. Wow, so it is really a range of services. The thing that's going to be interesting about this program for the people who are listening is, well, actually it'd be interesting for you guys too, because all of these people are technically competitors, and you all provide similar services from a probably slightly different angle. Some of you are with bigger companies than others. Who's part of like a giant franchise system?
Well,
I think we're all franchised.
Yeah, we're all.
Yeah.
All of us.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so none of you are just a local business here in town?
Well, we all are, too. I mean, it's a franchise, right. So we own the business. So we're independent business owners.
Right, but you're...
We're all locally owned, so we all run... It's just like...
But you're all part of a wider network. And are you all outside of California as well as inside California?
Correct.
I believe so.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, Senior Helpers is international now.
Oh, well, that's good, considering this California law kind of has it in for you. I think I called it. I forgot to look here. The Big Bad Wolf is at Grandma's Door was the title of our show.
And that would be it.
And that's pretty much it. All right, Nathan,
that's why we're
give us two bits there. You're okay. Lined up well.
I'm Nathan with Home Instead Senior Care, and we're also doing in-home care, so bathing assistance, meal preparation, light housekeeping, laundry, errand, shopping. And the reason we're here together as competitors is because of the importance of what we're going to talk about today. And so we all do similar things, and we're all out there competing, and we're all small business owners, and we have a concern, and we want to share that concern and also the industry that we serve. And that's why we've come today.
All right. Well, and we all started this at the office of our senator when you guys came in to talk about legislation. And it's like, okay, well, let's see. Our senators and our assemblymen up in this area, our senator and assemblyman, are going to vote against these bills. But the rest of the people don't really know that this is happening. You find that's pretty common? People have no clue that this is all...
This legislation?
Yeah.
No, it's these things are under the radar.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Rhonda, won't
yes.
you say hi?
Okay. Hi, I'm Rhonda Robertson with Interim Homestyles Personal Care and Support Services. One of the things that I wanted to add to what Jim said is a lot of our clients can't get out of bed without us. If we're not there for them, they can't get out of bed. Many of them are... You know, wheelchair bound. We might take care of a quadriplegic that is a Hoyer lift, which means that they can't assist you with that lift. So they depend on us. And so when we are providing assistance for somebody that's family members are out of town, it is critical that we are there. And so that's what this is about, is what the people need and being able to always be there and be dependable. For them. And so regulations that come on to agencies such as ours can really raise the cost up for those families that we're supporting. And that's
because
why
you guys
here.
Are not government agencies.
No.
Nor do you play them on TV, correct?
No.
Okay. All right. So these are the people outside the government agencies doing these jobs.
Yeah. And we really, what we do is we provide the ability for a senior or somebody else that needs help to stay at home.
Sure.
Simple as that. They get to be in their own home as opposed to be in a facility or a hospital or a rehab center.
And I don't really know of anybody who goes, oh, great, I get to give up my independence and go have somebody else tell me what to do all day long. I mean, most people want to stay in their home, right?
They do, and this is a partnership with the families. And so these are all families, like Jim mentioned, who have lives and who need to go about their daily business but don't want to lose track of their parents. And so we assist them in watching their parents and helping them in the daily activities of daily living.
And there's something to be said for the companionship part of it, too. You've got seniors that you might have a couple where one passes after 50, 60, 70 years of marriage, and in addition to needing help, they need somebody to talk to. So it's just a wide range of services that we
provide.
You guys
really do all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we come back after our break, we're going to talk about what this legislation is specifically. But I thought we'd get all of you in here. Let's hear from Robert. Robert's our silent guy. He's okay. Whoops. The microphone has a little dropsy going on there.
Okay. I'm Robert with Visiting Angels, and this is actually the beginning of our fourth year here in Northern California, and we're very concerned about this legislation. So what we want to do here is talk about it in a few moments and just be able to inform you as to what's going on, because these two bills that we're going to be talking about here today have the potential to really change the lives and the finances, especially of the seniors and the families that that want and need the support, you know, for someone in the mom and dad's home or an aunt's home or something like that.
But of course, it's all to help, right?
Yes.
The legislation's always to help. Only this one isn't going to help, and unfortunately, it's coming at you from both sides. You got one going through the Assembly and one going through the Senate. So we're going to take a quick break here, thank our advertisers, and we will be back to talk to you about AB 889 and SB 411, the two bills at Grandma's door.
Walking in these woods. Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want.
How's that for... How's that for a bill intro?
Yeah, the big bad wolf is at the door.
Exactly. Welcome back to We the People. You are here with Aaron and Jim and Rhonda and Robert and Nathan and Chandler, our engineer. We have a full house today. We're talking about in-home care for seniors and what's happening with some legislation pending in the California State Senate and Assembly. We're going to talk to you about those bills and how this is going to affect people. This is a program that I would hope you would go to ReadingTeaParty.com, click on radio show, pull the archive a little bit later today, and email that to folks so that they can hear about this. There is not much time. I mean, I heard about this last week, and these bills have passed their respective houses. They are now on the other side of the building being worked on, and they could pass this week.
AB 889 has been postponed until July 6th.
And there was an 899 before, and that's been postponed indefinitely, so that was good.
But that was killed. Actually, that was the bill that we supported.
Yeah, I read that, and I thought, what the heck? Well, they've got all these bills that sound almost the same.
Well, they're not really all the same.
But different.
they are different, and we don't oppose regulation of our industry. There certainly is a large opportunity for abuse. All of us in this room probably follow the same general principles and rules. We do background checks on all of our caregivers. We hire people who are experienced. They're licensed. I mean, they're bonded. They're insured, covered by workers' compensation insurance. We do two personal, two professional reference checks. So we do everything we can to make sure that the caregiver that we send into somebody's home is not going to take advantage of the senior. That's not necessarily true across the board. There are some agencies out there that don't hire their caregivers directly, and they use them as what we call contract workers.
Oh, sure.
And they won't be bonded, they won't be insured, or they won't be covered by workers' compensation insurance.
But there's no caveat in this bill that if, in fact, you do those things, that you are you're outside the scope of this. This is kind of a one-size-fits-all, regardless of how your particular business is running. Because, let's see, 889. I'll just read right off this little paragraph here. This bill would regulate the wages, hours, and working conditions of domestic work employees, which includes housekeepers, nannies, and caregivers for children, persons with disabilities, and the elderly. Also provides a private right of action for domestic work employees when those regulations are violated by his or her employer. Kind of sounds like union there. Provided an overtime compensation rate for domestic work employees and would require annual pay increases and paid vacation for domestic work employees.
Well,
that won't change anything.
Well, yeah, no, not at all. And this would be, by the way, the only industry in the state of California that would be required to provide paid vacations.
Yeah.
There isn't. There is no other business.
If you're a private employer, isn't that up to you?
It's up to us as business owners what we want to do with that. But we would be the only business or industry in the state of California that's required to provide paid vacations.
Now, is this the bill you guys were telling me that if somebody stays with a person 24 hours a day, then this is the This is regular time, time and a half, double time. Is this the one?
Yes. Currently, our industry is exempt from overtime, and the reason is to provide two things, continuity of care and reasonable cost to the senior. So if we have to, and we typically work either a flat rate plus room, which includes room and board for the caregiver.
Right.
And if we have to go to this rate where the first 8 hours are regular pay, second 8 hours are double or overtime, time and a half, and the third is double time, what it'll do is it'll take, currently we charge roughly $250 to $275 a day in this market. In the Bay Area, it's a little higher.
Right.
Los Angeles, it's a little higher. In order for us to continue to do that, that rate with these new wage restrictions would require we charge probably $500, $600 a day. It'll take it out of the reach of virtually everybody. So it will kill the live-in care business in the state of California and drive it underground.
So if you can't stay with your mom, dad, brother, sister, aunt, uncle 24 hours a day and they require it, and these aren't people that are, you don't have live-in doctors. You have people that stay because what if they fall in the night or what if they can't get out of bed by themselves, right? Isn't
right.
that what we're talking about?
That's exactly
These are
right.
people in some cases who are suffering from very simple ailments. They have very serious arthritis or they've had a stroke or they're developing dementia, things that they don't need to leave their home over, but they need to have some companionship there. They need to have somebody there to help them fix meals, to help them remember to take their medications, things that all can be done in home but would become unaffordable.
Sure. And if the family decided they really felt better if somebody was there all the time, then that's a doable thing. I mean, you know, say $250 just for round numbers a day isn't cheap, but it's a far cry from $700.
That's correct. And the impact that this would put on somebody in regards to the care that they were receiving, if somebody does have dementia, let's say it's your grandmother, and you've hired us to come in and provide 24-hour live-in assistance, which is what we're talking about. If we have to start paying employees, you know, eight-hour shifts and break that down, what the impact is on those people is that continuity of assistance that they have from two people, possibly, that are providing that 24-hour round-the-clock assistance live-in for 7 days a week can go to five employees being in with that client to avoid overtime. And that's a huge impact with what that causes, the confusion and agitation that can cause to somebody that does have dementia or Alzheimer's.
And we
super
really,
confusing. I mean, well, for them.
And I correct. Would venture to say that we probably have somewhere between 40% and 50% of our client base has some level of dementia. I mean, it's part of what we deal with, and making a change for a dementia patient causes confusion and agitation, as Rhonda said. It's just it hurts, and it'll make their life miserable, and it'll make life for their family members miserable.
But see, I think too, like people like my mom. She's like 71. She's perfectly fine, but my mom isn't crazy about change. And so it would be a whole new deal to have a stranger living in her house. And if they were showing up and leaving every 8 hours, especially in the night.
And somebody different each time.
Exactly. I mean, that's a huge disruption.
Well, what it's going to do for people that really want the two people, as Rhonda said, because we don't work people 7 days a week, it's going to drive the business underground. What will happen is there will be caregivers that don't work for anybody, only themselves.
Oh, sure.
And they'll get cash. The state will lose because the tax revenues will decline. Then it puts the senior at risk because, again, there won't be the background check, there won't be bonding, there won't be insurance. The one I worry most about is workers' compensation insurance. If that caregiver falls and gets hurt, the senior is on the hook to take care of that caregiver's medical expenses until she's well enough to go back to work.
Yeah, and there's no provision in your homeowner's insurance for having somebody live in, is there?
Most homeowners' policy have a very small and limited amount of benefit. In this day and age, some homeowners' policies actually exclude workers' compensation coverage unless you get a rider.
Sure, they cover if somebody comes over to have coffee and falls down on your porch. I mean,
right.
That's what that's for.
But if it's an employee?
Yeah, in relation to that, we came across a case in Mount Shasta where the private caregiver that was hired did get injured in the home and turned around and went to the doctor, to supposedly get fixed, you know, get the help that she needed. And she ended up suing the family because the family didn't want to pay the big bill.
Ooh,
and brutal. then the family found out later on that this private caregiver had been doing this with other families.
Oh,
kind this of is a- an example of what could possibly happen. We're not saying it's going to happen, but it will happen.
Sure.
You just don't know if it's going to happen to you.
Well, I mean, at that point, they have nobody to turn to. Right now, if there's a problem or they think there's, you know, that this person isn't paying attention, you know, they spend all day watching TV instead of their mom.
Well, part of the problem we have, like in this particular case, mm-hmm. now the family has to go to court. Not only do they have to find and provide care for mom, now they have to go to court in order to, you know, fight off the lawsuit.
Oh, and how convenient if you're the lady who lives in Texas.
Right.
Not.
Well, and we had a client that came to us because Reading Police Department recommended she go to an agency because her private caregiver stole $5,000 worth of personal belongings.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. always nice. So right. So it's not enough to just make sure everybody's safe and being well cared for, but now you've got to make sure they're not, you know, stripping down the house or lining up to sue you for something.
And that's the important thing about these two bills is that they say that they're going to provide these things. But in fact, what's going to happen is they're going to promote the opposite because of what we were just talking about is that it's going to make it so unaffordable for those of us who are already screening these people and monitoring them that, like Jim said, they're going to go underground. And so if you read these bills, it appears as though they're going to try to do the very things that we're already doing. If you use a reputable home care company, then the employees are screened and they are bonded and they are insured and they are drug screened and all these things are done. And so they're creating bills here to do what's already being done, and they're going to charge us to do the things that we're already doing. And as we've talked about, it's going to drive it underground, and the state's going to lose the tax revenue. And so these bills are going to do the exact opposite. And more of what we're talking about here is going to start occurring.
Yeah, and in California, there's across the country, but in California in particular, we need jobs. And we're a growth industry. 10,000 people turn 65 years old every day in this country.
Sure, that's all we hear about is the baby boomers, retiring, and that's why the Medicare and Medi-Cal costs and all that stuff are going up.
So we're creating jobs in the state of California, and these two bills will kill jobs. Doesn't make any sense.
No, and I like the mandatory vacation part. So employees, if you were to, not probably you, but say someone like me who doesn't have anything to do with your industry, ask them, they might be thinking, hey, this is a great deal. But in reality, that means you're laying them off, right? Because you can't afford to keep them?
Well, you have to consider that everything that's paid comes from somewhere. And so if you
are... Oh, Nathan, you rotten realist,
this
you.
This is rocket science here for the economist. But every penny that goes
exactly.
out has to be charged to somebody. And so there's a whole bunch of things that you could line out and say, well, this will just be wonderful, but somebody has to pay for those things. And that somebody in this case will be the seniors.
And the challenge here, and not that I'm opposed to letting people go on vacation, but these positions are typically relatively short-term. We care for people on average. The average client in my industry, for the Senior Helpers franchise, is 9 months. And when that happens, then the caregiver gets laid off, and she either goes to work for one of the other folks in the room, or she goes to work in retail, waits for another assignment to come, or waits for one to come from me. So we're not talking about full-time people working.
This isn't years and years and years. And is the same for everybody, about 9 months?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's just an industry deal.
Right.
Yeah. And these are people who would otherwise be volunteering at hospitals also. These are people who are middle-aged, stay-at-home mom types whose kids have moved away and they want to help somebody. And so they come and work for us not because they need a job necessarily, but because they want to give. They want to help the community. They want to give back to the people in the community.
Yeah. Caregivers work because they like to give care.
I'm sure. Because it's hard. And
that's correct. It has to be in their heart to want to do it. Otherwise, this is not the line of work for them. And one of the things is that a lot of our employees, they only can do the 24-hour live-in because they have children or something. So when they get off their 24-hour shift, they've been able to sleep at night.
Oh,
and so they can still carry on the next day with other regular activities that they have to take care of.
True story. All right. We need to take a break. Thank our advertisers. You're listening to We the People here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Well, that's the point. They'll be watching you in a good way. See, we usually play that song when there's something scary going on. But actually, this program is all about the people who take care of the people that we care about. Here on We the People, we try to do issues that are broader than just the city of Reading, you know, just the little stuff. We do create this program through the Reading Tea Party. We do have it linked to the website, so if you go to readingteaparty.com, click on Radio Show, you'll get the information about our guests and about the legislation. Home Care Services Act of 2011 and the Domestic Work Employees Bill is AB 889. So you'll see information about both of those. All of our guests here in the studio, we have four people here. Elizabeth was gone, so we had to have four people come in order to co-host here. We have you guys go around so they'll hear your voices and they'll know who you are.
I'm Nathan with Homestead Senior Care.
Rhonda Robertson with Interim Homestyles Personal Care and Support Services.
Wow, it's a long one.
Robert Vonhoff with Visiting Angels.
And Jim Robinson with Senior Helpers.
Cool. And we've got Tim with, I don't know how to say Tim's last name.
Ariza.
Ariza? Good. With Arcadia. And he's calling us later because, what is he? He's in Mexico? Or
he's going to Mexico.
Oh, he's going to Mexico. He's going to be
so
out of town.
He's packing his bags.
Ugh, we should have done leaving on a jet plane. I forgot.
That's what's happening with these bills. They're driving us out of the country already.
He's going to leave early. Good call.
Getting out of Dodge.
So, let's see. Let's talk about this next bill, and then we'll be able to go back and forth between the two. SB 411, so that's a Senate bill, California State Senate Bill 211, the Home Care Services Act of 2011. Under existing law, a private provider of in-home care services is not subject to the requirements of a provider who works within the IHSS program, in-home
supportive services,
and that is a state thing. Mm-hmm. And we've listed the information about that also on the webpage there. The bill would, among other things, prohibit the home care organization from hiring an individual as a home care aide unless that individual meets certain requirements, including but not limited to, I love that part, demonstrating that he or she has specified language skills, has completed required training, and has cleared criminal background investigation coordinated by the home care organization. Okay. So, obviously, how many of you already do that?
All of us.
Well, we all do. That's what we were talking about, is that they're going to charge us to make sure that we're doing what we're already all doing.
Oh, that hardly ever happens.
Well, I think it might be useful to draw a difference between us and IHSS, the in-home supportive services, just so people don't confuse who they are and who we are. In-home supportive services, as you mentioned, is a government program. They provide in-home services for low-income or disabled families. And the industry that we're serving are mostly private pay or covered by insurance, or there's a lot of coverage through the VA with the aid and attendant program. And so it's a different clientele. And so what's going to happen with these bills is most likely they will drive business and have to expand the in-home supportive services.
Yeah, and I should point out in the bill, IHSS is excluded specifically from the regulations that they're imposing upon us.
Really?
Yes.
Gosh, and you know what? Are their employees unionized at all?
Yes, they are.
They are.
What a shock, and what union would that be?
But, for me, it's not the union angle that bothers me. Why would state workers or state-funded workers have a lower standard than we do?
And right now we have a higher standard, and they're going to impose, like I say, they're going to create this this board that we're going to pay to make sure we're having a higher standard, and then they exempt themselves from it.
Neat. And they're the SEIU guys, right?
Yeah.
So theoretically, your employees will all...
Well, I suspect there'll be an effort to organize, but...
Well, let's talk about this SB 411. One of the things that we're concerned about is that they want to create a registry. No, and so all of our caregivers will have to be on a public registry. And if we go back to who these caregivers are, middle-aged, stay-at-home mom types who are doing this because they enjoy it, they just simply aren't going to be on a registry. And so some of our caregivers already have told us that they're going to quit as opposed to be on a public registry because that's not what they're here. No, that's not what they're in this for. And so if you imagine your own parents and you have a wonderful caregiver, she lives down the street, she's taking good care of your parents, and now all of a sudden she's going to have to be on a registry and we're going to have to find somebody else for your mom. Or your dad. This is a very serious issue. And again, as Jim mentioned before, who else does this? What other industry is made to put all of their workers on a public registry?
And pay them vacation.
Well, the vacation's actually in AB 889.
I know, but still. I mean, and you guys as an industry, I don't think anybody objects to, well, we do this with construction quite a bit. We talk about this in the construction industry, that there are lots of employers who really work hard to make sure that their people work year-round, that they do have benefits, that they do have retirement. They don't have to be, like, unionized in order to have that. Now, in your industry, you guys have a group of people. It sounds like you share a lot of the employees.
Yeah, when
and therefore share data.
Well, we don't necessarily share data, but certainly we...
No, but I mean, if you have a problem, it isn't like you could have somebody out there just working, being horrible to people, and no one would find out.
Well, we don't share employees, but what we do share is we're in the same industry. So, if for example, if one of my caregivers, if there was a serious problem and we ended up on the news, that's going to hurt everybody else in the room.
Exactly.
So we have a vested interest in making sure the industry standard is high. And so that's what this is about. See, none of us are opposed to having industry standards. What we're opposed to is oppressive regulations. And so that's why we're opposed to these bills, is because they aren't going to do what they say they're going to do. They're going to create more of a problem.
And SB 411, for example, there's a couple of things. The registry is one that we're opposed to. I wouldn't want my name on a public website. I've got a couple of caregivers, like Nathan said, that are being stalked by former husbands or boyfriends, that if they had to put their name on a public website, they're going to go find a different job. The other piece of the equation is to regulate us, or the oversight would come from the Department of Public Health. We are non-medical, so we have nothing to do with public health. If we're going to be regulated, it really ought to be through the Department of Social Services, and specifically within that network, the Community Care Licensing, which is the agency that supervises and regulates RCFEs, residential care facilities for the elderly, which is typically where our clients go when they can no longer stay at home. So if we're going to be regulated, it should be through social services, because it would be a clean transition from in-home care to assisted living care. And again, that's who supervises and regulates that industry. And what they do in an assisted living facility is exactly what we do in the seniors' home. The only difference is in assisted living facilities, they typically will have a med tech so that they will actually administer meds, which we can't do. But that's really the only point of differentiation. They get them up, they bathe them, they dress them, they deal with all of the issues that we talked about, what we do, they do in an assisted living facility, and they're regulated through community care licensing and social services.
Well, there is a little bit of difference between the assisted living and the in-home care. The in-home care is basically all one-on-one.
Sure.
And when you go into assisted living, typically you have, what's the ratio, about eight clients to one caregiver?
It's more like 10, I think.
10 yeah. to 1. So, you know, I mean, it's a vast difference. You know, when the grandparent or parent can stay in their own home, they're going to have one person watching and caring for that individual.
And it's their schedule. It isn't a group think.
No, and people move into assisted living really for four reasons: mental, medical, financial, and emotional. So it's kind of a blend of all of that. We are an alternative up to a certain point from the financial perspective for assisted living. But assisted living can become necessary for a whole variety of reasons.
But from a regulation standpoint, your point is very valid, that if we're going to be regulated, which, like I say, none of us are opposed to, it ought to be by the same people who are already regulating the others that we already work with in the industry.
Well, because let's face it,
living facilities,
if they're regulating you as a medical provider as opposed to a support provider, the cost is totally different.
Well,
I would imagine.
The cost is going to be huge to our agencies, and I don't know how the state is going to do it. Part of the bill is that we would need to be accredited, and the accreditation process is A, very expensive, and B, geared toward skilled nursing facilities and hospitals, which we have really nothing in common with them. So the Department of Public Health would have to set up a completely different accreditation process, which makes no sense. At a cost to the taxpayer, at a time when I think the budget, what did we say, $9.1 billion, there's a gap, and now they want to spend more money on accreditation.
Right. And one of the things, too, is that in-home care, such as ours, the non-medical, is private pay. It's not covered by Medicare, Medi-Cal. It may be long-term care insurance, and there's also the veterans assistance that they might have through a pension called aides in attendance. But the impact on the clients that we provide assistance to out in the home is huge because they don't necessarily have other resources financially to help them with it.
Sure, and the policy that they took out years ago for this care or the veterans benefit, those aren't going to go up correspondingly just because they're hammering you guys and increasing your costs.
No, they're going to be the same. And the veterans benefit is not huge. I mean, it's $1,632 a month for a vet. So that's
nice recall.
Yeah.
I just want everyone to know he didn't read that off a piece of paper.
No, I didn't. And the spouse or the widow would be $1,044, and I think it's $1,986 for a couple. But
Correct. That's
not a lot of money.
And it's not easy for them to get that either.
No.
It's a little bit
really?
Of work. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it takes
a
little bit of work in that.
The government, it takes 6 months to a year to get approved.
Oh, okay.
And so if you're following the if you follow it down the road and consider what the impact will be financially, if they do what we're talking about and make it so much more expensive, then all of this care will be driven to the state, all of this money. Because if we become so unaffordable that these benefits that we're talking about that aren't going up don't cover it, then eventually the taxpayer is going to have to pay for it. This is what we were talking about with how the in-home supportive services will have to be expanded, because this is care that's necessary. This is care that has to be given, or these people will have to leave their homes. And so if we're having to charge so much that they can't afford it, then there's only two options. The state will have to step in, or these people will be sent to facilities, which the state's already paying for.
So seniors, more than anybody, and the people that are arranging their care at this present time, they better get with the program and get smart about this. We're going to be back in 2 minutes. We need to thank our advertisers here at We the People. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. It's like the caregiver theme song there. Hang on to those folks. They might be going away. Yikes. Time to get involved. You're listening to We the People here on KCNR this morning. You can go to readingteaparty.com, click on radio show. You can join the chat. It's all over the board, too. It's worth getting on the chat because if you're not a multitasker, it's excellent training. They have talked about everything this morning on the chat room. I think everything but what we're talking about. So I think they're just listening and just talking about whatever. So if you can type, go there, join the chat. You can ask us questions through that as well. If you'd like to call us and ask us a question, please do it before 5 minutes to 10 when the program's over, since that pretty chronically happens. Give us a call at 530-605-4567. All right. So something interesting came through during the break that we want to talk about. Who's going to do it?
What we were talking about is how typically inefficient the government is, and typically how efficient private industry is. And so when you take a private industry and you push it to government, not only does it cost more, but you have to consider who's paying for it. So let's take an example. There have been ads running. I've seen them on TV. Jim said he heard them on the radio that say if you know of anybody abusing the in-home supportive services network, please call this number. Because they like we're talking about, they're exempt from these rules. Their standard isn't as high as ours is.
Because they're a state agency.
They're a state agency. And so their answer to that is to run commercials saying, if you know somebody abusing this system, here's the number to call.
And I should point out, just so everybody knows, it's a huge chunk of taxpayer money. In Shasta County alone, the number that's spent on IHSS every year is $26 million.
Dang.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that's significant. And so it's not like they're hurting for business and they're gobbling up more.
Well, what we're talking about here is efficiency.
Yeah.
And so,
talk to us about that.
You know, like we were talking about, sure, it would be great if we could, you know, give them all this vacation time and whatnot, and we would be happy to do that. But then what you're talking about is where does the money come from? And so if we drive all this to the state and it becomes even more inefficient, you know, in years where we're having these budget issues, it just doesn't make sense to take a private industry who's being funded privately and push it to the government to be run inefficiently and from a budget that's already bankrupt.
And they're not prepared. They're not prepared to handle that. Talk to me about the thing that you were saying where people have to apply and wait 6 to 8 months. And
that was the aid in attendance program.
And that's through?
That's through the VA, Veterans Service Office. And so there's a benefit for low-income, low-net-worth seniors. The challenge is you have to put care in place and pay for it to basically prove that you need it. And then the application process to get approved takes 6 months to a year. So if you put it in round numbers, we talked about 1983, so let's just say $2,000 a month. So that means that, and it takes a year to get approved. What you're talking about is somebody's going to have to lay out about $24,000 worth of money in order to take care of themselves, prove that they need to get the care before they get the approval. Now, when you get the approval, it's retroactive to the date of application. But the reason for this benefit is because it's for people that don't have money. So it's kind of catch
22. So they take $2,000 a month. And okay, so let's say they apply, like Rhonda, you were saying.
Yes.
If they apply, say what you said before.
Okay.
Do that.
If they apply, then I'm not too sure where you were going with that. So
if they don't have someone coming in to help them privately for that period of time, then their application isn't approved.
They've just proved that they don't need it
is the way the state looks at it.
Yeah.
They have to apply and prove that they are having assistance at home, which is where that keeping track of those monies that they're paying out for it to deduct from their.
And what we're illustrating with this is the inefficiencies of the government.
Sure.
And so right now, if they need service, we go and we provide it, and it's paid for privately. And these are the types of red tape that's going to appear all over home care. The more and more government involvement there is, the more red tape there is.
And again, too, I mean, back to IHSS, the standards for their caregiver are significantly lower than what we put in place.
Like what? Give folks kind of an example, because a lot of people really are. I mean, hey, I'm leading the pack.
Well,
super clueless on this whole topic.
Caregivers are required to do be background checked. They have to pay for it themselves at IHSS. We pay for it as agencies. If somebody has a felony, unfortunately, we're not going to hire them. With IHSS, only certain felonies apply.
That's right. I remember you guys told me that. Okay, now, you can be a bank robber, right?
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, a carjacker.
Yeah. You just can't have provided fraud or abuse to a senior citizen or a child, I believe, are the two, or an agency, IHSS. So
so if you ripped off IHSS before, they're not going to hire you.
Yeah.
One thing I'd like to bring up here, the difference between IHSS and private caregivers versus us as agencies is the fact that we basically control the staffing of the care. And that's a huge, huge difference because, for instance, if somebody has an IHSS or a private caregiver, they have that one private caregiver. So what happens if that private caregiver does not show up that day?
Yeah.
There's nobody to call.
Yeah.
That's
with us, I mean, if when we find out about it, you know, that a caregiver has not shown up, we immediately send in another one.
And the other two is let's face it, there are personalities involved, and sometimes,
sure,
particularly when you're dealing with dementia, that that client may not like the caregiver. Nothing particularly wrong, but it's just oil and water. With IHSS, you're stuck. With a private caregiver, then you have to go back and try to find somebody again. You know, run an ad on Craigslist or in the newspaper, go to a registry. With us, they pick up the phone and say, "I'm sorry, but Sally's not working out. Could you send somebody else out?"
It's like the difference between sponsoring a golfer and a baseball team. Well, golfer goes down, you're doomed. You know, the baseball team's always got a bench.
The problem you really get into here too is the fact that the client that's mm-hmm. being cared for or the family have to make the contact with this caregiver and arrange, you know, for interviews and for hiring and so forth like that. So whereas when they turn it over to us as agencies, we handle all of that, you know.
I mean, if they don't like the person, they still get to make the call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're not stuck to go try to find people that they've never... I mean, you look at somebody who potentially has never hired anyone in their whole life.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden they're hiring someone who's going to live with a relative. I mean, that's a big deal.
Well, and they're not going to have the resources to do background checks. They're probably not going to have the resources to do reference checks.
How many times do you hear, "But she seems so nice"?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. She walks out the door with that $5,000.
Exactly.
Exactly. And our objective really isn't to rip on IHSS, but rather to illustrate the fact that private industry runs things so much better than government. In any instance, it mm-hmm. doesn't matter which occasion you take, private industry does a better job. And so you have to ask yourself, what's the purpose in these two bills that's going to make it harder for private industry to do what they're already doing well and drive that industry to the government who's already not doing it well?
Yeah, and
very well said.
And take away the control from the people who should have, I mean, they should have the most control. Mm-hmm. The person who's being cared for and their family, the people that are arranging all that, they should be making the call. And to have this just yanked right out of their hands.
That's correct. And a lot of times we can provide assistance to somebody and they choose to go private instead and hire their own staff because of the rates. You know, they want to go less expensive. Oftentimes we get a call back from those people.
Often.
I know myself, and probably the same for everybody else, when we're working with somebody and they do that, they decide that they want to discontinue services for a period of time, I will always keep them on service and let them know that we're there for backup to their private care staff that they've hired, because that is critical. And I would say probably, you know, 75-80% of the time, those people are calling us back.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so we'll leave the light on for you.
That's correct. It's like, yes, it's totally that way.
Yeah, I could see that, because it would seem, I mean, for those of us that haven't dealt with this, you'd think, well, this can't be that hard. You know, I mean, this is a lot of money. Oh, well, I met this nice lady at the grocery store. She said she's done this before. I mean, that'd be easy to walk somebody into. Mm-hmm. I mean, and maybe the person, there's nothing wrong with them. But boy, if they get hurt or they get busy or they find a different job, mm-hmm. all of a sudden somebody who's expecting to be able to get out of bed in the morning.
Right,
now,
and
can't.
so easy for the elderly to be taken advantage of, and because they don't all have advocates that can help them to, you know,
sure.
do reference checks and those criminal background checks. And
well,
those
and you're in a private home too. I mean, it's not like anybody's walking by watching, you know, and so no one potentially would know that things weren't being handled properly.
That's another point. You know, we do supervisory visits on our staff, and you know, that ongoing oversee of what's going on. Whereas that doesn't always take place.
I would imagine this is quite a network you guys live in. it's a world in, you know, in and of itself, but it's getting bigger. And those of you that have been in this industry for a long time, we're going to need your expertise. And probably isn't going to come from the state, is it?
No, it's a wonderful industry. It's great owning a business that you can go to sleep at night knowing you're helping people.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's very awesome. And there are way too many people out there that are going to need this. And here's again, legislation sneaking through that people potentially know nothing about. So let's see. We've got a five-minute break here. So this is a good coffee time for those of you at home. And we will be back with We the People here on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta Redding. The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to We the People. We're into our second hour here on Sunday morning. We are talking about in-home caregivers and the industry, really, of in-home care services. It's that place you go between being just regular you and being in either assisted living or a full-time nursing home or something like that. There are lots of people who would rather stay home. I dare say that would be all of us. And there are people who provide care at a variety of levels, whether it's part-time during the day or it's 24 hours. There's all sorts of things we talked about in this last hour. This hour, I think we're going to focus more on the different situations that are going on, the different stories that are happening, you know, not giving up anybody's personal info. But for those of us who haven't dealt with your industry, the legislation that's pending is going to make it very difficult for these folks to continue to do their job for people that that we're related to, or maybe we are those people, or we're going to be those people soon. As all the baby boomers retire, I mean, this is a booming industry. You can follow along online at ReadingTeaParty.com. Click on the radio show link. And if you're listening to this on an archive, you can email the page you are on to anybody and give them all the info, because on there are both these bills, AB 889, which is a California State Assembly bill. It's about domestic work employees. And the high point on that one, besides all the different regulations and things, is it's going to require these private industries to provide pay increases and paid vacation for people who would be housekeepers, nannies, caregivers for children, persons with disabilities, and the elderly. Today, we're looking more at the elder issue, but can you imagine that? You have a housekeeper and you are required to pay you are required to pay them vacation. What private industry is mandated for that? Then you have Senate Bill 411, the Home Care Services Act of 2011. And this one actually exempts the state agency in-home support services, IHSS. Requires these private industry employees to be put on a public registry and will actually lower the qualifications that these folks are doing as far as background checks and different things like that. I specifically like the part, and for the folks who were with us last hour, the part about how if you've committed a felony, as long as it wasn't against a senior or a child, hey, you're eligible. These guys are like, are you kidding me? If they've committed a felony, they're not eligible. But the standard that will be imposed by this law is actually going to lower the bar, which isn't good. And Nathan aptly pointed out last hour that the government typically doesn't do things better than private industry. And everyone online is going, are you kidding? We knew that. we see it all the time. I think we all see it all the time. So many things that the government wants to take over that really they're not good at it. So if you want to call in, I forgot about that part. Elizabeth's not here this morning. She usually does this beginning stuff. I'm like, oh, I should have made a list. Phone number is 530-605-4567 if you'd like to call us. So we're talking about people and the types of stories that you guys have. Tell them some stories.
Well, this what typically happens, it's the same really across the board, just different slightly different situations. But these are people who need help with simple activities of daily living. Some need help with meal preparation. Some need help getting to the store or getting to doctor's offices because their vision is bad and so they can't drive anymore. There's a myriad of different things that that produce the need. But the real what we're really after here is to keep them at home. And so by staying at home, one thing that we had talked about last hour also is that what goes when you have dementia and Alzheimer's is your one of the things is your short-term memory. And so if you've lived in the same house for 20 years, you have that as an anchor. That's one thing that's ironed into your memory.
Well, that's a good point.
And so if you can stay at home in a place that you remember and continue on with the activities of daily living that you normally do, then you can continue on and enjoy your life. But if you have to be uprooted and move to another place...
And you need your short-term memory to do it.
You need short-term memory to figure out a new place. Okay. And like we were talking about, if different caregivers are coming through constantly, then that's a problem also.
Yeah, I mean, change tends to exacerbate the symptoms of dementia. So different caregivers rotating through will cause a problem. To Nathan's point, uprooting them from their home and putting them into a different environment, whether it be one of their children's homes or an assisted living facility, there typically is going to be some kind of decline in their mental status. They may bounce back somewhat, but they probably won't bounce back all the way, or they may just stay at that lower diminished level.
So it's the assembly bill that changes the rates of pay. So for those caregivers that you have that stay 24 hours a day with someone, they basically are a live-in caregiver. This is going to require 8 hours paid regular time. Next 8 hours is time and a half. Next eight's double time. Well, okay, so if you're a smart business person, you all look pretty smart, you just hired three people instead of one. And so now the person has somebody rotating in and out every 8 hours that they potentially didn't want to have happen. And on the flip side, you guys have caregivers, I'm sure, that want to work several 24-hour days.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have kids and this, that, and the other. So are we going to hear? We're going to hear from some of these people, right?
We are.
We got Amy on the line.
We do.
Good morning.
Hello, Amy. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you. Could you tell us just a little bit about what you do for our clients?
Sure. One of the fun things I get to do is cooking. I love to cook, and to be able to provide nutritious meals for clients and do some home cooking is just a pleasure for me. I enjoy it immensely, and sometimes they'll help out, and that's a lot of fun too, because we'll get laughing in the kitchen and we share good recipes and have a lot of fun. And that's one of my favorite things to do.
And Amy, are you somebody who lives in someone's house all the time, or do you just go there for a period of time? And
I just go there for a period of time. And so make sure that, like I know earlier, you were talking about couples with dementia. And so to go over there and to ensure that they have clean clothes and clean sheets and a nutritious meal that they might not otherwise be able to, you know, fix for themselves is just a really good feeling. I look forward to going to work every day. I think if it was my parents, and how would I want somebody to take care of them, and meeting the families and hearing the stories and just being able to laugh and talk, and it's a lot of fun. I enjoy my job.
And as you can tell from her description, not only are we providing nutritious meals and a safe environment, but she's having fun doing it. And so not only are they staying at home and accomplishing the technicalities of being at home,
right,
they're enjoying that time that they have at home. And this is what these wonderful caregivers like Amy bring to the equation, is not just the ability to stay at home, but the ability to enjoy the time that they stay at home.
Hey, Amy, how did you get into this anyway?
Well, a while ago, I actually have grandparents who are passed away now. But they had a wonderful caregiver that came into their home, and they lived in back east. And so we couldn't always be there, and except to fly back, you know, and check on things. And she was absolutely wonderful to them. And I thought, well, you know, it kind of inspired me that I would like to, you know, try and do that and kind of give back. And I was fortunate enough to be hired, and I absolutely love it. I feel like I just met my, you know, calling in life to do this. And like I said, I look forward to going to work.
Nice. I think that's who everybody wants to have staying with their people, obviously.
And if we could go back to the point of the public registry. So Amy is a typical example of that. She has wonderful children. They're involved in sports, and she has a life in addition to the enjoyment that she gets from this job. And so making a public registry out of these wonderful caregivers is just simply not a good thing.
How's that working for you, Amy?
I'm not a big fan of the public registry, to be honest.
I'm with you. I would imagine that's fairly common. Amy, hang on with us. We need to take a two-minute break. Thank our advertisers. We'll be right back with you. You're going to hear commercials, and then we'll be continuing on with caregiving here on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
All the gold.
But if all the gold in California wasn't in a bank in Beverly Hills under somebody else's name, then we wouldn't have any problems, right? But that's true. So here we're back with We the People. We are talking about caregiving, really basically the general topic of caregiving. We're talking about two pieces of legislation, AB 889 and SB 411. You can find those if you go to ReadingTeaParty.com, click on Radio Show, and it will give you all the details on there. And we have Amy on the line, who is a caregiver, and Nathan was telling us a little bit. So,
yeah, I was just, if I could ask you one more question, Amy. We've been talking about the continuity of care. And
right.
The importance of it. So, in relation to this couple that we're talking about, what do you think would happen to them if we started sending different caregivers all the time?
I think that it would cause a lot of confusion. I know that having one person there is very reassuring for them. Aside from somebody needing to come in because something comes up, but I know that they feel very comfortable with one or two people coming in to their home. And I absolutely love, they are so dear, and I love going over there.
And so you're home probably by the time your kids get home from school, I would imagine.
No, I work in the afternoon.
Oh.
And well, because my daughter's so busy with her sports and stuff. So.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, who needs mom anymore?
Who needs mom, yes.
But this, like we've been talking about,
enables me to, you know, do cooking and things like that. And I love to be over there, too. I love to be with the clients and, making sure that they do get a nutritious dinner, you know, and because I think that's so important, you know, doing as much possible to keep them, you know, healthy.
So this is obviously something you really like to do. This wasn't like, I'm going to be a millionaire, I'm going to become a caregiver.
I enjoy it. I do. And it does have it. It's definitely challenging at times, but sometimes you never know what you're going to encounter, but that's part of the fun of it too. And I couldn't imagine doing anything else now at this point. I just enjoy it so much.
How long have you done this, Amy?
For just under a year. It was since last September, I believe.
And so you can see from Amy's description, and if you would, all of you, just imagine you have a parent or a couple of parents at home who need help, and you call an agency, and this is the type of caregiver you get. Amy is typical of the type of people that we try to hire, these middle-aged, stay-at-home mom types who aren't doing it as a career. They're doing it because they love people. They love taking care of people. They enjoy the work that they do. And so this is the benefit that you get from a private professional service. And so now if you contrast that to what we've been talking about with the IHSS registry, where even if you have felonies, you can be on there. You know, there's such a low standard. Compare that to to what we've got here. And you can see what we were talking about, how private industry does so much better in almost every case than a government agency would do. And so thank you very much, Amy, for
coming on. Somebody's just writing in our chat room. They said that they were taking care of a friend of theirs and you know, just to help out, but that they hired caregivers like you to kind of fill in the blanks. And they said here that some of them were undependable, and they found one fishing at the river behind the house who wasn't attending to the lady.
Oh.
And it was really hard to fire the person. So, yeah, who would have thought? You're goofing off at work. You're out fishing behind the house. So.
Did you catch anything?
Yeah, apparently, probably. We got to call fishing game.
That's right. And this is the, again, this is the value in having a professional service that monitors the caregivers and oversees what's going on, because if you have a person or a family trying to manage the care themselves, and the children have jobs and the parent is already infirm or unable, you need a professional service.
Sure. Then you can just call you guys, and then you find people like Amy to fill in. So, Amy, if your kids are sick or you have some reason you have to be gone, is that a big deal?
No. Well, they're teenagers, so they're pretty much self-sufficient.
Oh. Yeah, sorry, I forgot. They don't need you anymore.
They don't, I know.
They have sports for that.
Exactly. But if the need arose, if she were to have sick children or whatnot, then we would replace her. She would have a replacement. And so
right,
not
and
only...
I enjoy it so much that I keep myself healthy. I try to keep myself healthy and taken care of so that I can keep going to work and do the best that I can.
Well, that's awesome. Everybody on the chat room wants to hire you, so you have a future in caregiving. Stay healthy.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Amy.
Okay.
Thanks so much,
bye.
Amy. Take care.
And we have Dawn on line two.
Good morning.
Hello.
My wife and I took in a child nobody wanted when he was five, and the state compensates us, which is not a big deal because it isn't much, but it's so nice to see them, to enrich them and see them grow and being safe, the safe environment, that it's important to have it regulated, important to have the right people.
I agree totally.
What change, and with the nurturing, this child has really blossomed, to speak to that. He's now 26. What changes do you see coming to the state program?
Well, let's start with the budget.
Budget?
Oh, do we have to start there again?
Exactly. What budget? And so what you're describing is all wonderful, but it also comes from the state. And so what we're talking about here today is adding significantly to the state's burden. And so in a case like this where you've got a child and you're being subsidized by the state to assist that child, that's something that you need to do. And what you don't need is to have your funding discontinued or diminished because the state's taking on the burden of something that the private industry is already doing and doing well.
Yeah, the problem is the state needs to realize that if they took over these children and adults, they couldn't afford it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Very all right, good Dawn, point. So go tell a friend. Time to oppose AB 889 and SB 411. They need you to go tell folks about that. Don't assume people are following this because most people are not.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Dawn.
You're welcome.
And now we have someone else on the line. Hi.
Hi.
Tell us your name.
I'm Janice. Hi. How are you?
Hi, Janice.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Fire away.
Okay. Well, you know what? We have caregivers that come in the home. Usually they come twice a day. And I cannot say enough about, unless someone goes through this, honestly, people have no idea what it's like. I feel emotional, so I'm hoping I can stay together talking. But, you know, my parents both have partial dementia. There's absolutely nothing better for them. And you think about them every day when you go through this. And there's nothing better for them than to be in their home. And, you know, we've talked about assisted living. I actually realized in the last couple weeks more the value of what this means to my family, being able to have caregivers. And we don't want the cost to go up because then we're not going to be able to do that.
And how far away are your parents from you?
They're 3.5 hours.
Oh, yeah, like my folks.
Yeah, yeah. And they both have some partial dementia, you know, some short-term memory loss. But here's the thing. the best thing that makes them happy is the part of their brain that does work, which is their longer-term memory. Well, if you get forced, you have to put them into a facility, you know, another place, they're going to be absolutely lost. I mean, my mom will spend much of her time, you know, talking about, let's say, what her pictures on the wall. This is her house, her roses in the garden. So that's, I mean, the finances is the one issue, but even above and beyond that, I want to talk about just a couple of the other issues that are huge, and until you go through this, you don't realize it. But so the way they are the happiest is having their memory of what they remember, because that makes them feel secure. They get very fearful and afraid. So you put them in new settings and you take them out of their home, and they're going to be so scared. We already know that. My mom even will refer to assisted living as a warehouse, which is not true at all, of course not. But it's her dementia that's causing her brain to even say that. But then the other thing that just really struck me, we've done our homework over and over, even looking at all the options and assisted living and all that. And again, just 2 weeks ago, I realized that there's one person in their home at a time. Like, we have one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And that one person is giving the two of them her full attention. You know, it's amazing. And so if my parents just need to talk for a while, if my mom says, oh, my head's spinning, I'm not sure what to do, you know, the caregiver can say, oh, well, you know, let's talk about your photos. What are these? And then she completely changes my mom's thinking. I mean, besides the cooking and all the other stuff, it's the companionship, the friendship. My mom will get to talk about old times with her, or they'll take a walk just in their familiar neighborhood.
Sure, because she actually knows about it.
What's that?
Because she actually knows about it. I mean, she actually knows your parents.
Yes. Yeah, my parents will actually think of them as their friends. I just can't tell you how awesome and how wonderful it is.
Sure, and if you have a question or you need to know what's going on, she sees them every day.
Exactly.
And that's cool.
And also what I've learned is the caregiver knows what makes my mom and my dad happy. My mom is the one who has more dementia. So if my mom is getting just seeming real depressed, she'll know how to just say, oh, let's go sit in the backyard, and let's just, it's a beautiful day out, let's just enjoy it. You know, they can do things that, it's so important, I can't tell you. And I just don't want anything to happen with our government where it's going to just cost more. I mean, when the government gets more involved in things, it just causes more expenses. I work in the medical field myself, and I see so much government waste, you would not believe. I could almost write a book on it.
But gosh, imagine that.
And what a perfect description of the value of what the caregivers provide in keeping your parents at home and providing not just the ability to stay home, but the ability to enjoy the life that they have still.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's all they have. That's the only part of their brain that functions is the longer-term memory. So, you know, that's what you can continue to create and make them happy by keeping them in their own home.
That's fantastic.
And then the other point I wanted to bring up is the flexible hours. Our caregivers leave for a couple hours, like right after lunch every day. And it's perfect because the house is quiet, my parents can take their nap, and then when they wake up, that's when the caregivers are there, and then they can have their help. So it gives them that sense of independence still.
That's a really good point, and that's a big deal for people.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we have to if the government steps in and creates more regulation and makes all this more expensive for us, which is typically how they do things,
Yeah, somebody, you know, somebody just wrote in the chat room, "Hi, we're here from the government, and we're here to help." It was just it was just a matter of time before somebody put it in there.
Oh.
All right, Janice, we have to take a quick break. You want to hang with it?
Sure. Oh, sure, but that was mostly what I wanted to say. But, yeah, I can hold. Sure.
Okay. All right. We will be right back here on We the People with at KCNR Radio, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not.
Welcome back to We the People. You are here on Sunday morning learning about elder care. Or not necessarily elder, actually, just people who need help in the house. And I know that my folks are now needing a bit of that. My mom had a knee surgery. My stepdad is a paraplegic, so they need help, and they're both basically fine, but they needed help. And I'm, three hours away, so I'm a bit like Janice that we have on the phone here. She's saying her parents are 3.5 hours away, and she has people that come in the morning and the afternoon. Just ought to mention to people that if you want to call in, you should do that here pretty quick, and if you call in, it's busy, just call back. We only have two incoming lines. The phone number is 530-605-4567. You can follow us online, go to readingteaparty.com, click on radio show, and the information about the bills that we're referencing, we're not going to go back through those. If you want to know what exactly they are and how to oppose them, you should go read about that, send it to your friends, and oppose them today rather than tomorrow because they are tearing through the legislature. So, Janice, we had a question for you.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, you've done such a beautiful job of painting the picture of their life and what it does for them, and I was wondering if you could describe for us what would happen to your life if you weren't able to provide caregivers for your parents.
Oh, boy. I think I might end up in an institution myself because I would just worry about them so much. You know, it's funny that you even asked me that question because I was just thinking, you know, my immediate family, I'm talking about my children and their husbands and my grandchildren, and we have four living parents. So we're a family of 17. And as much as you think, oh, I just want to take care of my parents night and day myself, that's two people. That means I have to ignore the other 14. You know, you can't do that. Plus, I still have to work part-time. But, you know, I just think that I would constantly worry about them. The other thing is we might get forced to have to move too soon into assisted living. It's going to be a very sad day, probably, for us, just because my mom's... my mom has been saying for years and years, as I told you before, she calls it a warehouse, and that's not the right word. It's her dementia that's causing her to say that, because those places are wonderful. They're a gift to society, too. But, you know, when we have to make that change for her, it's just going to be so difficult. And then my dad is going to be so difficult for him seeing my mom so unhappy.
Sure. And he's either got to go when he's not ready to go so that he can be with her, or, you know, he's probably not going to want to stay home. Nobody ever ages at the same rate.
Yeah, so it's just going to be so hard. Honestly, I don't know. You know, you just take one step at a time. But I'm just hoping. My dream, honestly, is for us to keep the people that we currently have, the caregivers. They've been an excellent company. And to keep them till my parents leave this earth. Because that is where they're the happiest, is in their home. And there's no question about that, you know. And I realize there's situations people end up in the hospital. They end up, you know, in a long-term care facility. And those things happen. That's part of life. But as long as we can keep them at home, it makes my life the easiest and happiest. And I just smile thinking about our caregivers and what they're doing. They're standing in my shoes.
That's fantastic. I know that there are a lot of people out there going, uh-huh. I know I'm headed here. You know, they go to visit their folks and they notice that things are a little bit screwy. You know, the house isn't as clean as it used to be, and things aren't quite right. And they live I'm 3 hours away from my mom too. And so, all right.
Yeah, and with that goes fear. That's one thing I never realized
true.
Is that the elderly folks get fearful. Because they see their abilities are slowing down and getting, you know, they're losing their abilities. So having a caregiver, someone that can give them that one-on-one, is just their total comfort and their friends, really, their friendship, too. I mean, it's really awesome.
That's great. Thank you so much for calling in,
okay.
Janice. And just
Alrighty,
so everyone knows,
thanks for the program.
No one here knows Janice, so that is awesome. Oh, you know Janice. Nathan knows Janice. I was going to say, that's fantastic. Just someone fell on us out of the blue with such a great story.
Yeah.
We really encouraged everybody to put the word out, because honestly, if people don't hear stories like yours, they think, well, you know, what's the big deal? What if the, so what, you know, so what? People figure it out. But when they hear stories like your folks and from these people that provide this kind of care, that makes all the difference in the world. So,
and if we could draw a connection, Amy that we just had on the line is the one caring for Janice's parents.
Oh, well,
so
that makes all the sense in the world. Okay.
So not only do we have caregivers who enjoy so much their job and get so much fulfillment from it, and go home at night feeling like they really have done something in the world, you have the second spoke on the wheel here, which is the parents who are able to stay home and enjoy that time that they have, and like we were talking about, have the technicalities of nutrition and having a clean house and whatnot. And then you've got the third spoke of the wheel, which is the families who are able to continue on having a life. And as Jan was just saying, be able to smile and know that there's care going on for her parents. And so this is one big circle of happy people that's going to be interrupted.
Oh, yeah.
Those two bills.
Oh, Janice, we've already met Amy.
Yeah.
We're not
great.
That old, but we all want Amy to come to our house, too.
I think it's
a clean sweep. We want to steal Amy. So, well.
Yeah, and you can sleep at night, you know?
Oh, exactly.
I can sleep at night knowing
absolutely
all is well.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you so Alrighty. Much, Jan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we have Bruce on the line who's been patiently holding. Talk to us, Bruce. Uh-oh.
Oh,
there
I'm
we go.
There.
Yeah, I thought something bad happened.
Oh, good morning, Aaron, and good morning to your guests. I just wanted to pipe in with my two cents.
Good, we like that.
Yeah, it was basically the subject you have is so, you know, heartwarming, the way life should be, and you have the government coming in, stepping in to break it all up with an agenda driven just to shut it down for more control. And it's
and money, don't forget money.
Oh, yeah, of course. But it's just a shame. And we were at the meeting the other day, and the guy said, how many laws were passed in California in 2010? And he said 936. And I'm sure we could go through every one of those laws and find out they're all agenda-driven.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, there's more silliness than meets the eye, and especially with things like this that disrupt a system that's in really good shape for... I'm not really sure why. What precipitated this anyway? Do any of you guys know?
I believe it's control.
Yeah.
If they can get them out of their homes and into institutions, they can control, knowing that they want to take the healthcare end of it over as
yeah,
well.
That's true, too. These guys have been a little under the radar for a long time.
Well, they see it's a growth industry, like we were talking about.
Yeah, I think it's another step in government trying to tell us what we need to do, and we can actually make our own decisions pretty easily.
Yeah, for those of us who can, yeah.
And if we can go back to the beginning, what we were talking about, we're not opposed to having industry standards, because all of us here in the room already have a high standard. What we're opposed to is the oppression of regulation that will make it difficult for us to do our job. And so right now, as you've just heard, we're all out there and we're doing a good job. All these companies are great companies and we have a high standard and we do a good job because we're all in the same industry. We have to do a good job to maintain our reputation. Mm-hmm. And so these bills come along, they're going to force us with extreme amounts of money to pay so that they know that we're already doing what we're already doing.
And that's not really why they're doing it. And I think we all kind of know that, but it is interesting to for the folks that maybe have just joined us in the second hour, that all of the business owners that are here in the room, we have four business owners here. We have Nathan from Home Instead, we have Jim from Senior Helpers, we have Rhonda from Interim Homestyle, and we have Robert from Visiting Angels. These guys are all technically competitors, however, they all provide a similar service, and by banding together in private industry, they're hoping that all of you listening will help them step up and speak for all the people that are going to be impacted. That, I mean, let's face it, if you have dementia, you don't know this is coming. You don't know your whole life's getting ready to change. And for some of the adult, especially adult children, who are busy working, living out of town, maybe living out of state, have no clue that this is coming for them, they really need you to step up and get a hold of your assemblyman and your senator. If you know that they're already going to vote no, I can tell you that Jim Nielsen and Doug LaMalfa will vote no on these. But if you live somewhere else in the state, or you know people elsewhere in the state, especially the folks who sponsored this bill, we have Amiano sponsored AB 889 and Price sponsored SB 411. If you know folks in those districts, we're also going to put up online the names and numbers of the different people for the committees that these bills are traveling through,
yeah,
so you can call.
Yeah, we'll make available the names and numbers for the Senate Labor Committee, who is going to be hearing 889 on June 6th, and then the Human Services Committee is going to be hearing SB 411, actually scheduled for Tuesday at 1:30.
Yikes. So this is imminent, and it's really time for us all to step up. So, Bruce, we need you to make some phone calls. We need you to grab this archive off the web and send it to anybody and everybody with a huge note that, you know, it's like, this isn't junk mail, and don't wait till next week to do it.
Okie dokie, and thanks for all the hard work, you guys.
Thanks,
hey, thanks a lot. Good to hear from you this morning.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break, thank our advertisers here. You're listening to We the People. We're here on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com. If you have a vehicle, a boat, or even a plane that needs to be transported, you need Miller Auto Transport. In the auto business for over 40 years, we take pride in the efficiency, the professionalism, and the safety of our transport teams. Unmatched by any other auto transport or carrier company in the nation, we transport to all 50 states and overseas. To find out more or to get a quote, visit our website at MillerAutoTransport.com.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of years without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me.
Welcome back to We the People. We are in our final segment, so if you're planning on calling us, you better hurry. Number's 530-605-4567. We are sponsored by the Reading Tea Party and the advertisers that you hear online, and we are always looking for sponsors and advertisers. If you don't want to advertise on this program, we've got alternatives for you, but we really would like your sponsorship so we can get the word out. Nothing like people are having an issue, and we can get this out to the whole state with a two-hour sound file, lots of good information. I mean, this is an efficient way to reach people. I mean, you know, I should just ask you guys, when we were talking, we said, well, hey, we could put you on the radio this weekend. I mean, how great is that?
It's great.
Yeah.
Very good idea, because it really, really opens up the whole idea of really what is care. What is care in the home? What does it involve? You know, it really affects the lives of so many people, just not mom and dad at home.
Sure.
But the whole family.
And how are you going to get the word out that legislation is passing that's going to affect all these people?
We've got to reach people.
Yeah. I mean, it's time. So we had a comment here online on our chat room from Lori. She had said they are pushing us to the cliff. Most people who have to go into a home don't last too long after they go in. They just give up. And
very true, because they're out of their environment. You know, they don't have, you know, their environment, their home, their beloved home, their beloved possessions. Typically, they can't take that with them. So quite often, they just kind of wither. Wither away, you know, and they're not getting the one-on-one care. Now they're getting, for instance, 10-to-1 care.
Sure, and the family member always knows someone to call who actually saw their family member that day, knows if things are getting better or worse. I mean, they can track what's happening. Can't say enough about that.
We all keep records in-home of what goes on, so the family members are all involved also. So not only is it one-on-one care, but the family members are also able to participate in what goes on with their parents' care in-home.
While they raise their kids and go to work and all the stuff they have to do.
And in some cases, like Janice, they're not nearby, so we're the lifeline or the link. I mean, I've got clients that we take care of where their loved ones are out of state, and we give them an update every week as to what's happening with their parents and what change in attitude and behaviors are happening. And we're the ones that get them to the doctor. We're the ones that, in many cases, communicate with the doctor, particularly with patients with dementia, that we're the ones that really facilitate getting better care for medical care for them because the family member's not around.
Absolutely. Or they don't know. I mean, hey, most of us don't know. We're used to our parents, and it's like, that's just how they are, you know. We have Robert on the line. Robert, do you have a question or a comment for us?
Yeah, I have. It's along these lines. And nobody's talking about it, but the alternative is that the government wants to take over, and they're going to take the elderly out of the house and put them somewhere. Where are they going to put them? They're going to contract people and put them in homes that big contractors put them into. And over the years, I used to live with a lawyer. I knew a lawyer down in Sacramento when I lived down there. And he worked with the legislature. And he was actually involved in a case where there was some guy that owned something like 230 homes. And there were unlivable conditions they found these homes in. Now, you know, if they're going to, you know, require you to put them in a home, some people just can't afford to do that. So, Medi-Cal or somebody's going to have to pay for that. So, you know, this is another thing you got to think about when you make it really rough on the home care situation, and when they come down with the regulations to do these businesses in.
You're right, Robert, and actually what happens is if they become destitute and can't afford it, the state doesn't put them in assisted living facilities. They put them in skilled care.
What does that mean?
That means they go to what we would call a rehab center, which is...
It's more institutional.
It's more institutional, and it's more expensive. You're talking about assisted living facilities running anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 a month, and skilled care runs between $8,000 and $10,000 a month.
You're like our Rain Man.
Yeah, I know.
It's nice we invited
That's
Rain Man this
really
morning.
That's a really big point.
And so what's going to happen is they're going to be put in an environment which is not appropriate for them, and we, the taxpayers, are going to pay more for it.
And they're not going to have people to hang with. I mean, it's like having a really, really, you know, smart kid in a school where they don't challenge them. I mean, they're bored. And when our parents get older, I mean, you know, they say like my mom's big on puzzles, Jeopardy, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I could just imagine, you know, if she was teleported to a place where everybody was just kind of, you know, wandering around.
Yeah,
how long do you last?
Yeah, they typically have some activities for them, but their primary purpose is really to take care of people who have severe medical needs and rehabilitate them and send them home, not to provide long-term care for somebody with dementia or a physically related limitation.
That's great. Well, thanks, Robert, for calling in.
Okay.
And thanks for doing the webpage. By the way, that was the voice of the webpage. It's really nice. He puts these pages together for us, and once the show is over, the archive sound file goes on there, and we can send this out. Has all the written information for people, and they can re-listen to the program. Because let's face it, you know, people are doing things Sunday morning, and they get interrupted, or they heard it for part of the time in the car. So make sure that you go to ReadingTeaParty.com, click on Radio Show, and take the page from today and email it to people who really should be making phone calls, which is everybody, because you know what? We're all going to get old. You know? If we're not old, we're getting old. So, all right, we've got like 5 minutes. Boys and girls in the studio, what have we?
Well, the other thing I'd like to bring up is, we haven't really talked about it, and that is the primary caregiver, either the spouse or the family. The burden of providing care for somebody is just overwhelming, and particularly when you have two elderly people and the husband's taking care of the wife or vice mm-hmm. versa, very often the caregiver winds up sick, and in many cases statistically they actually pass earlier than the person who is being provided care.
You must be channeling the chat room, and I know you can't even see it.
No, I can't.
But, yeah, the comment on here is, not only do they not last as long once they move, if a couple stays at home without help, the senior giving most of the care expires early also.
It does.
So
that's what happens.
It's an excellent point.
What happens is as you get older, there comes to be a difference between what you can do and what you should do. And so when you sit down with these couples, the one who's healthier says, well, I can do this and I can do that. And then it happens just the way that Jim's describing, where the one who technically can do it but shouldn't wears themselves out in the care of their spouse, and then they end up expiring early.
Yes, and it's not unusual. For instance, I got a call this past week where we have a family. The mom and dad are at home. The mom, who is 86, is taking care of her husband, who is 89. So you can imagine this, you know, she's helping him to do the toileting and all that sort of thing, you know, trying to transfer her husband. You know, she pulls her shoulder out, you know, so now she's out of commission, you know, and it becomes a nightmare for the family, especially if you have a family where the sons and daughters are farther away.
Sure. And how many people do you find, because, I mean, my folks are... I mean, in the next, my mom, they're there. You know, my stepdad's in a wheelchair, so he requires a quite a bit of care. He's perfectly fine mentally, but he's a big man. And that transferring thing mm-hmm. back and forth
that's
to
huge.
The toilet, it's a really big deal. My mom just had knee surgery. So all of a sudden now their whole house has been disrupted. But do you have people that are, when they call you, they're kind of scared to call you because they're afraid it's going to turn their world upside down? Is this something they've been avoiding, the call they've been avoiding? I would imagine
very often the call comes in when they finally got to the point where they're panicked and they're frantic about what to do and they want care starting this afternoon.
Oh, because they've waited and waited.
They've waited and waited and waited, and then all of a sudden they realize, I can't do this anymore. They're physically and mentally drained, and they're calling for help.
Sure.
And I would say that one of the biggest factors in that is gaining their trust, because oftentimes people... they're so reluctant to step back and let somebody else help them. And it's okay for them to do that. And I just, you know, take the opportunity to tell people out there that it's okay if you're the primary caregiver to step back and have assistance. And that's why it's critical that we're there for them, and having a pool of employees to look through when you go out and do an assessment on a client. You get to know them. You get to know what their interests used to be, their hobbies, whatever background they have, what they did for a living. They may not be able to do that anymore, but it's a conversational piece. And you match an employee to that client. And that's what private duty, that's what we can do for a client, because we have an employee base to go from.
It's really funny. This kind of reminds me, you know, they always say you can't pick your family. Well, this is sort of like you do get to pick your family, because these people literally
become
part of their
like family.
It's critical. It's critical that they're able to do that and that you have the right match, because you're in their home and you're making a difference and an impact in their life, and you're wanting to take the weight off that primary caregiver's shoulders, that loved one that lives out of the area.
Sure, and it should be as low impact as possible, I would imagine.
Yeah, but we tend to think of it, we're not just taking care of the senior that needs help. We're taking care of the family.
Exactly.
And the couple.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, because it's stressful if the family's not so, there or can't do it.
Or just needs relief. You know, sometimes that 80-something-year-old is taking care of the other 80-something-year-old just needs a day or two a week where they can get away from it, go to the mall or see a movie or go play bridge or something, and not be burdened with the 24-hour care that they're having to provide. Just that small amount of relief sometimes is all they need.
Sure. And people don't age at the exact same rate. So when you do have a couple, you know, very rarely does everybody go in lockstep. It's funny, I took a World War II veteran, he's a Pearl Harbor survivor, down to the Capitol on Wednesday. And his wife was supposed to go, but he comes out to the car and he goes, well, she's not going to come with us. You know, she doesn't feel good today. He goes, she's elderly. He's 89, she's 90. She's elderly. So I think people aren't real realistic about, you know, their needs, their situation even, and their elderliness. I think we all don't see it coming, you know?
And if we could go back to Rhonda's eloquent description of the amount of work that goes into finding the right caregiver for each family and how much it takes to convince them to have the care, we can tie it back to these bills in the sense that continuity of care is so important because you go to that much effort and spend that much time getting to know the family and finding the right caregiver for them. It's important that caregiver stay and that caregiver be consistent. And so, like we've been talking about these last 2 hours, that one thing that's going to be interrupted by these two bills is the continuity of care. And so you go to that.
That's the shame.
It is.
That's the shame. That's where it all goes off the rails.
The continuity of care and the cost of care. I mean, both of them are just, it's
okay, folks, we're at a wrap here. And AB 889, SB 411, two bills you got to watch for. Go online and check them out. We'll see you next week on We the People here on KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta, Redding.